year, I get up and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, something different. So I go for Poe's Cask of Amontillado. Because, you know, everybody always goes for the Telltale Heart, because Cask of Amontillado scared me the most when I was a kid. So I'm thinking, yeah, we'll do a little production. Nah! No, because George W. Bush has run out and nominated a real, live, genuine, honest-to-God monster. But it's not like I didn't tell you. Our good friend Chris emails in and he tells me, hey, Bob, you said last week, we lose Harriet, we get a monster. You got it dead on, or should I say head on? Well, that's why we call it head on. Merciful God. Samuel Alito. Oh, and by the way, if you haven't noticed, the new talking points are out for the Republicans. And the new talking point is to refer to him as Scullito is somehow, and this is the word they're using, I'm not kidding, racist. Really racist. Referring to him as Scullito because he is just, he is Scalia, minus a couple of consonants. But now that's racist. Here, let me give it another little shove. No, Scarlito. You remember Al Pacino in Carlito's Way? Scarlito. This guy is a happy Halloween because George Bush handed us a freaking monster today. Arr! Liberty bad! Arr! Yeah, like that. And we'll talk about it. It may take all night we're going to talk about it so much. You want to talk about it, you can get in on the action. We've got this highfalutin phone system and email and, gosh, you can stand out on the back stoop and scream if that's what you feel like doing. And, hey, we may hear it. But the phone numbers. You heard them from our good buddy Brian Reznor there, but let's do it again. 877-4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And, of course, locally, 304-658-5453, because we don't quite have the bugs worked out of the 3333 number. It works, too, but it doesn't roll over. Then again, neither does the new Beagle puppy, but I've got more hopes for the Beagle. Alito. And God knows there are other things going on, but we kind of need to focus on Alito, because we're either going to fight this fight or, hell, turn in your Democratic registration, okay? We're either going to letter every blessed Republican or Democratic senator on Capitol Hill and say, vote for this creep and we're done with you. Or we can just lay down for the rest of the time. For all time. We can either use the filibuster now and make these freaks go nuclear. Or we can just forget about advice and consent. And up or down vote went swirling down the toilet with Harriet Myers, and that was their own doing. That was the Republicans' own doing. She would have had an up or down vote with us. Remember the up or down vote? Oh, everybody deserves an up or down vote. Oh, yeah, thanks, Senator Catkiller. Freak. But they didn't want her to have an up or down vote. James Dobson, you know, came out and said, well, you know, I know the secret stuff about Harriet, and she'll be okay. But that wasn't enough, because as one of her friends noted last week, what the right wing did to Harriet Myers, and these are his words, it was like a gang. It was like a lynch mob. You remember that. We talked about it Friday, I think. And there are so many things that are wrong with Samuel Scarlito and Scarlito's Way. And the list is almost endless. This guy can't even read. Most of the stuff that you're going to hear tonight is stuff that he voiced in dissenting opinions. This guy can't even get it right on the appeals court. This guy has been nominated for the hateful dissents that he has written that are in line with Clarence Thomas and Tony Scalia. That's what got nominated. And this time through, if we don't have a unified opposition from the Democratic Party, then maybe we're just playing at the myth of the Democratic Party. I'm not sure. I should also mention you can reach Head On and me, Bob, at headonradio.com, or my lovely wife, Agnes, at headonradio.com. Oh, creepy music for a creepy night. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Hey, welcome back. 17 past the hour here in our secure, undisclosed location in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Sammy Alito, let's start with the easy stuff. Sammy Alito has about 600, anywhere between 615,000 and a little over a million in total assets by as of the end of last year. Sammy Alito has at least 100 large of that in, yeah, forget about getting the court to do anything about price gouging by the oil companies, because 100 large of that is in Exxon. Beautiful, man, beautiful. And this from the Associated Press. Bush's new Supreme Court nominee has a clearer track record on abortion and would become a tie-breaking vote in deciding how far the government can go to, it says here, restrict women's access to the procedure. That means how far they would go, he would go, the court would go to artificially tying up and intervening in women's innards, insides. That's one of those hillbilly terms, innards. As in, right-wing fascist freaks want to jump around, play around in women's innards and control women's innards. So we know that he's been truly bizarre with regard to Roe v. Wade in the past. Oh, where is it? Yeah, here. What's the name of the case? Planned Parenthood versus Casey. 947 F. 2nd at 726. Again, like I said before the break, this guy can't get anything right. He was dissenting on this one. This was the particular case where Pennsylvania had enacted a statute that said a woman had to ask her husband's permission to get an abortion. Now, never mind if he stomps her guts out on a routine basis and, you know, hit me again, I can put a little stank on it this time. You know, never mind what he does to her. Once he knocks her up, she has to go to him and say, honey, can I please have an abortion? And the rest of the court said, you know, that's really going too far. Sammy Alito, however, says, well, you know, the Pennsylvania legislature might have been thinking about things like economic constraints and future plans, or the husband's previously expressed opposition to the pregnancy that may be obviated by discussion prior to the abortion. You get this? There was nothing in the Pennsylvania statute that indicated the Pennsylvania legislature thought anything of the sort. Just Sammy Alito out there making it up as he goes along. Just making it up as he goes along. You know, because of perceived problems, such as economic constraints, future plans, or the husband's previously expressed opposition. They can't win on straight up facts. They can't win on pure and simple legal terms. People like Sammy the what? Nah, you make up the nickname. Alito, Scalito, Scarlito's Way. Aren't they just doing the? You make up the nickname. He's got, because he has to make up facts to fit his miserable, sickening fascist philosophy. Oh, he's calling him fascist. That's only because he's Italian. No, damn it! It's because he's a fascist. You know, the rude pundit out there today had a beautiful essay on Sammy Alito, none of which would be broadcastable. So we'll shy away from it. But rudepundit.blogspot.com, have a look. It's because that guy is funny. Very funny. I'll tell you what, we'll go on down the line with Sammy Alito here in a little bit. But let's do go to the phones. Jim's with us. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Hey, Bob.
How you doing?
It's Halloween. So, you know, what I say is G.W. Bush, pain ass.
Yes.
So I've got a special treat for you, or a trick.
All right.
So ready it up. Here I come.
Okay, go, man.
And I'm in voice.
All right.
Dum, dum, dum. Michael Reedy was ill the day the earth stood still, but he taught us how to stand, and Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Dana Andrews had pruned, gave him the runes, but passing them took lots of skill. And I saw Leo G. Carroll went over a barrel, but Tarantula took to the hills. But I really got hot when I saw Jeanette Scott find a trippy that spit poison they'll kill. Science fiction, yay, yay, yay.
Double feature.
Double feature.
Brad and Janet.
X will build the creature.
You know, Jim, I got to tell you, I take a lot of hell on this show for my singing, but...
Hey, listen, even Frank Sinatra's got a clear throat.
No, that's true, too. Little honey and lemon.
Well, anyway.
No, but these are scary people. And
I know.
And they ruin my Halloween.
Well, listen, don't let it. They'll be there tomorrow. Go on with your Halloween show.
I don't know.
I won't do that. I mean, for God's sake, it comes once a year. And if you plan something good for Halloween, don't let this a-hole, or whatever you want to call him, take it away from you. He'll be there tomorrow for you to rant and rave about. I don't blame you.
Well, I don't know. Maybe toward the end of the show, we'll get into the cask of Amontillado. I don't know. Maybe I'll get into a fifth of Amontillado. Who am I trying to kid?
Well, you know, you can always take this guy and wall him up after Fortunato gets through with him, you know. Right?
Yeah, sure.
Well, listen, I just wanted to contribute a little trick or a little treat. If anybody wants to make fun of my singing, you know, I got a thick hide. I can take it, you know?
Well, it's like we say up the holler, root hog or die, and the tough hide lasts the longest.
You got it.
All right, Jim.
All right.
Take her easy.
Happy Halloween.
You too.
Bye.
And Ed's with us. Hey, Ed. You're head on. Hey, Ed. Ed. You were there, Ed. Now you're not there. Yeah, let's put Ed back on hold and see if Ed comes back. Yeah, the top button. Just, yeah. Okay, we'll come back to you, Ed. Wow. Now, see, we're still building up our little sound library in the computer, and otherwise I would have already had Rocky Picture Show in there, because it would work this evening with this guy. No, what... We haven't even gotten to the good part of Sammy... Pick out your own nickname, Alito. But we do know that back in the year 2000, this jurist said that the family and Medical Leave Act. Remember that? It was passed during the Clinton administration. It said, look, employers, you don't have to pay them. Don't sit down. Relax. You don't have to pay them or anything. But you got to let your employees take emergency leave without pay if they've got a new baby or a sick family member or a medical emergency at home. You got to do that. And in 2003, the Supreme Court upheld that. And what were they upholding? They were upholding the congressional statute that Sammy Alito had said amounted to a congressional overreaching. Yeah. Sammy Alito says that Congress was overreaching when it stepped in on behalf of, you know, middle class, upper class, lower class families that had either a need or a person at home, that was overreaching by Congress. Is the picture beginning to get a little clearer for you? Congress exceeded its power in passing the Family and Emergency Medical Leave Act. Is this somebody who has any business on our Supreme Court? I don't think so. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just in case we ever face title held by me, MIB. Means what you think you saw, you did not see. So don't break B, what was dead is now going black.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he that... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know... One small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Oh, about 28 minutes and one very abrupt end of the bumper music before the hour, in hour number one of this, the Monday night Halloween edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is, of course, 304-658-5453 and toll-free 877-4, the number for Head On. That's 877-443-2366. If you need, we'll be happy to pay the freight. Now, a little bit more fun with Alito's way. We know already that if he gets the chance, he'll strike down the Family and Medical Leave Act. We know that. We know that he is obsessed in some weird and sick repiglican way with women's insides. Hey, here's another bonus. I mean, this guy is everything the so-called conservatives dream of, because he doesn't like black people very much either. Now, once again, this is a dissent, okay? He wasn't in with the people who reached the right decision. He's out there being wrong. And he is, well, look, it's Mike Brown all over again. Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job. It's the Medal of Freedom for L. Paul Bremer, okay? Screw up, get rewarded, get promoted, whatever. They're doing it again. So, in this particular instance, the decision ruled in favor of a Marriott hotel manager who said she was discriminated against on the basis of race. Alito dissented from that. He wanted her to be discriminated against on the basis of race. And the majority went so far in that case as to openly criticize Sammy Alito. They said his thinking would have, quote, immunized an employer from the reach of Title VII if the employer's belief that it had selected the best candidate was the result of conscious racial bias. Sammy Alito believes, my God, is Rosa Parks really lying in state in the rotunda of the Capitol today, and this sick, racist freak has been nominated to the Supreme Court of the United States? Come on, Rosa, it's Halloween. Rise up, baby. And I'm not being mean. If God was in his heaven, she would. And she would go and say to him, what do you think you're doing? It's okay for an employer to discriminate on the basis of race? Thank God this man wasn't around in 1955. Actually, a lot of people like him were around in 1955. That's why there had to be a 380-some-odd-day Montgomery bus boycott. He really did. He really did. It's out there. You can look the case up. Racial bias is A-OK with Sammy. Sammy the Sleaze, Sammy the Slime, Sammy the Slug. Pick one. I'm not kidding. This is the monster we got as our Halloween present from Dear Leader. He'll serve for life once the Democrats in the Senate cave. And I don't mean to be too much of a pessimist, but unless we inject just a whole hell of a boatload of spine into our Senate Democrats, they will cave. Because they're afraid that Trent Lott might stand up and say something ugly about him.
He's called us names again. We just can't stand it when he calls us names. Please, can't we just vote? Let's just give him an up or down vote over with so we can vote for him and move on.
And we've already forgotten about Scooter Libby, haven't we? No, we haven't. But I'm not going to forget to go to the phones. Ed is with us. Hey, Ed, you're head on. You'll have to unmute him there, dear. No, wrong button. Over here, on the board, honey. On the board. Hey, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing good.
I didn't even know that I could receive you on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I had have that computer, which I'm going to get just since I get straightened out here from all this other stuff I'm going through.
I understand.
But it is really... It is really good just to, I listened to Jim a while ago, and I was still on there when you was calling my name, but we wasn't making contact.
Well, we're still figuring out the bugs.
Yeah. Well, it's just super good that you're on there and that people are calling. I wanted to make one quick comment.
Go right ahead.
You know, no matter what these people are convicted of, because of the way the Supreme Court is, if Bush don't forgive them after when his term is up, then if it goes before the Supreme Court, then we still got a loser. There won't be nothing done about it.
Yeah, sure. They'll find a, yeah, I know what you're saying. They'll find a reason to overturn a conviction, just like they did with Ollie North.
The stage is set against the against American people, and of course, enough of them realize that now to where 56% of them are against him and his policies now.
Yeah. I mean, Bush's presidency is an absolute failure now, Ed.
It's worse than that. He's a joke. I mean, if there's ever just a pimp for the corporations from Halliburton and all the rest of them, he is a genuine certified pimp. That's all. I mean, he is so disgusting. I listened to him after going through all he did for the woman judge. He got on there and decided that this guy was probably the best qualified after all the other stuff he had to go through.
Yeah, this guy was the best qualified man for the job, even though he's nominating him for a seat on the court that was open when he nominated John Roberts.
Yeah. If people can't see through that and through him, you know, we're in pitiful shape. But like I said, that 56% on that polling thing, it just makes me so happy that not that there'll be anything done against him, but that the people are becoming aware.
But you do realize, don't you, Ed, that Harriet Myers was a smokescreen?
Oh yeah, probably. I mean, it was a put up deal, knowing that he could do that gesture and then still wind up with an ultra conservative.
Yeah.
So I'm just so disgusted with what the system is doing and the right that's going to be taken away from the working class and Americans in the future because of his appointments.
Well, can we, when you look at somebody like Alito, Ed, can we finally just say that all the ugly things that the right said about liberals like you and me when they were starting their ugly little war, how we hated America and were un-American, can we finally just realize that what they're doing in calling us that is mirroring themselves? Because they do hate America. They hate the Constitution. They hate the Republic. They hate representative democracy. They especially, for some reason, and I don't know why, because I'm terribly fond of them, they hate women.
Yeah. Well, and there's not a one of them that I know of that in some way hasn't indicated that they're racist. You know, all the way Trent Lott, the one that died, passed away, Jesse.
Strom Thurmond?
Strom Thurmond, yeah. All of these guys are, in some way, it's like, just like Rush Limbaugh. He represents them, and he did everything but use the N-word right on his radio show here 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, sure he does. It was about a week and a half ago, maybe 2 weeks, that I heard Rush Limbaugh compare slave ships going from Africa to the Americas, bringing slaves to the colonies. I heard him compare dumping the dead slaves' bodies overboard to an oil tanker spilling oil. Does it get any sicker than that, Ed?
Bob, I just don't know. There's not enough to describe what all the veterans should be supporting and the kind of stuff that we should be fighting against is the very things that we fought wars over. And we got them here setting herself up now as celebrities in the United States. It is really a pitiful situation.
Well, you know, I remember, not directly, I was a little young for it. You probably do remember it directly. When Khrushchev took his shoe off at the United Nations and banged on the podium and said, we will conquer you without firing
That's
a shot.
Right. Never fire a shot.
This is that, isn't it?
Huh?
This is that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, and this ultra-right wing group that's there is, they're dictating what goes on, and they're in a minority, really, but they're so powerful that the rest of the Republicans fall right in line with them. And or they would be, some of them would be tried for war crimes right now. You know, a Bush, number one, would be, if we had a Democratic Congress, I'm sure that he'd be put on. And if this was Bill Clinton...
Oh, my God, if this was Bill Clinton, Ed...
He'd have done been dragged out, tarred and feathered.
Oh, yeah, two or three times. Hey, we've got to take our break, Ed. Let me put you back on hold so you can hear, okay?
I sure will, and I appreciate it.
No trouble at all. All right, let's take our, yeah, that's what we call them. We talk highfalutin broadcasting talk. We're taking a break. This is Head On.
Bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA.
Mrs. Deer, you're in the road again.
Oh, Ranger, I saw headlights and...
I understand.
Hey, so you're working late, huh?
Yeah, Smokey and I were up thinking of ways to remind people to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you come up with?
We're going to make some radio commercials featuring a ranger and talking animals.
A little sophomoric, don't you think?
Yeah, so?
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
Are you a safe miner? If so, you may be eligible to receive official professional miner recognition. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. If you've worked 3 years or more in the mining industry without incurring a lost time workplace injury, you can be recognized as a professional miner. Professional miners are a tremendously valuable resource to the mining industry because of their proven ability to work in a hazardous environment yet remain injury-free. Professional miners stay injury-free because they are experts at recognizing and eliminating hazards. Professional miners always wear their personal protective equipment. Professional miners always conduct thorough workplace examinations. And professional miners always make the right decision where matters of safety and health are concerned. Call your local MSHA office and ask them about the professional miner recognition. Thank you for listening.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving.
Mm.
And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
we go again. 11 and a half minutes before the hour. Little dust-up we like to call head-on. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is 304-658-5453 and, of course, 877-4, the number 4, head-on, 877-443-2366. Moving onward and upward, or downward, or sleazeward, with Sammy Alito, Scalito, because he's just, you know, and the right-wingers gave him this nickname. The right wing gave him this nickname, Scalito, because he's a, you know, I shall call him Mini-Me. He's a little miniature Scalia. So we know that Alito says, yeah, the hiring practice is based on race. It's okay. Well, it gets better. Now, just recapping where we've been so far. He doesn't like women. He doesn't like people who have sick or newborn people in their family. He despises people with skin less pink than his. Oh, and look, he's not fond of the cripples either. Nathanson versus Medical College of Pennsylvania. Again, the majority got it right. Alito got it wrong. This guy, I kid you not, he's being promoted for screwing up. Doing a heck of a job there, Alito. The majority in that case said the standard for proving disability-based discrimination, as Alito would have it, was so restrictive that, quote, few, if any, cases could survive summary judgment. Summary judgment is something that happens to a case before it ever gets to a trial, to a jury, anything. So, under Alito's standard, under, I guess, the Americans with Disabilities Act, or any other operable statute, the way Alito views people with disabilities, they don't have any business in the courtroom. Can you imagine that? If you're black, you can't sue. If you are crippled in some way, you can't sue. My God. If you've got sick people or newborn people in your house, you don't deserve time off. Oh, this was a real gift to the hard, hateful right wing of America. And then there's Trent Lott. Let's see if this will play. This is from CNN last week. Trent Lott was asked about the next nominee after Harriet Myers was torpedoed by the lynch mob of the hard right wing. And this is what he had to say.
I want the president to look across the country and find the best man, woman, or minority that he can find.
Ah! Do it again.
I want the president to look across the country and find the best man, woman, or minority that he can find.
In other words, America is comprised... Boy, Jesus, God, talk about John Edwards and his two Americas. Apparently there are three. There are... In America, under Trent Lott's vision of things... Trent Lott, white courtesy phone... In Trent Lott's America, in hard right-wing, conservative, Republican America, there are three kinds of people. There are men. There are women. And there are minorities. Who apparently are neither men nor women, but something a little bit... What, less? Yes, dear.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Does this mean that our husbands end up getting to own us? Are we going back that far?
Oh, baby, it's going to be fun. Oh, I'm going to pay for that. I am so going to pay for that. Now, men, women, or minorities. And now my guess is George Bush stepped off the reservation because and just nominated none of the above. Because Sammy Alito is apparently a pod person. And, you know, way back when Sammy Alito's mommy and daddy just had him in the cradle, some 50s horror movie thing slipped in, put the pod under the baby bed, and it grew up, and it went to Yale, and it became editor of the Yale Law Review, and came out and said, discriminate against the brown people! Cool! Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Can you imagine... Now, this is one of those little... ancient history moments. Can you imagine what a hateful triumvirate would be comprised by Scalia and Thomas and Alito? The triumvirate, that was when Pompey and Crassus and Caesar agreed to jointly rule Rome so as not to have a civil war. This is a triumvirate for the 21st century. My God, this is a triumvirate that could conceivably last the next 20 years. Oh, and I'm forgetting about Johnny Roberts. My God. Look at the America that is looking back at us. An America where employers can freely discriminate against individuals based on their race. An America where someone who with a disability has been discriminated against has no recourse to the courts for redress of grievances. An America where a woman cannot choose what she wants to happen inside her own body. And we haven't even got to the linchpin yet. We're not even there. We haven't even begun to touch upon the real core of this family values Republicans hate. We're not even near it. It's probably going to take the next hour to get you through this one. The next hour, a bottle of Tums, roll of Rolaids, couple of quarts of Mylanta, little Pepto-Bismol, maybe even some Imodium, because I mean to tell you that what this man did in the case I'm going to tell you about is nothing but pure A1 sickening. No. Yes. No. Yeah. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. No. So, well, you know the phone number is 877 for head on. 658-5453. If you want to get it off your chest, get it off your chest now because it's going to get tough. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her.
Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt U.S. Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Hey, Ranger, why do you have to remind people to be careful with fire?
Well, Mr. Mountain Lion, sometimes people need to be reminded about certain things, like not to run with scissors or let children play with wild dingoes, and to be responsible for fires they start.
So what you're saying is that people can be careless and forgetful?
Pretty much.
That makes me very sad.
Sounds like someone needs a hug.
Back off or I'll turn your hat into confetti!
Remember, only you can prevent wildfires. A public service message from Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, State Forester, and the Ag Council.
Second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after the hour. Hour number two, just like Brian Reznor said. This is going to take a little bit, so settle in. This is the final outrage of what we know so far about Sammy Alito. Alito's way. And I submit to you that Alito's way is not the American way. Our travels take us to Pennsylvania this Halloween night. And the case in particular that we are going to be discussing out of the United States Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit, upon which Sammy Alito sits. The case is Doe versus Grudy et al. Grudy, G-R-O-O-D-Y. It was argued September the 15th, 2003, before Sammy Alito, as well as Judge Ambrose, and get this, Michael Skeletor Chertoff.
I have the power.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's all right. Michael Chertoff, now the head of Homeland Insecurity. This case was argued before those three. Once again, Sammy Alito came down on the wrong-headed, mean-spirited, rotten, dirty side of this decision. Now, let's get some of the ugly particulars out of the way. This is a drug case. But it doesn't really matter. The fact that this is a drug case has no real bearing on what the court was deciding. The court in this case was looking at the propriety of a search warrant. And you don't have to be involved in drugs to get your place searched. And the whole idea of how to go about searching someone in a criminal case goes back, of course, to the Fourth Amendment, which is pretty much coughing up blood on the porch at this point, and has been for some time. But it says that persons shall be secure, citizens shall be secure in their persons, papers, and effects, and that they shall not be searched or seized without a search warrant. Simple enough. So, in this Grudy case, the cops thought that Mr. Doe was a meth dealer. So they went and they got themselves a search warrant to search Mr. Doe's person and Mr. Doe's place of residence. Now, Mr. Doe had a daughter, a wife, Mrs. Doe. And he had a daughter. We'll call her Mary Doe. Okay? The cops knew that Mary and Mommy Doe were at the residence. They knew this because in advance of going, they deliberately took with them a meter maid, common parlance, a female cop that they literally pulled from meter duty. They knew what they wanted to do when they got there. And yet, in the body of the search warrant, tell me if this is getting too complex. in the body of the search warrant, they didn't bother to write down that they wanted to search little Mary Doe, who was 10 years old, or Mommy Doe. And yet, the cops, and you know how this works. They come busting in the door, you know, all full of piss and vinegar. And here's the fun part. Here's where the fun starts. They haven't said a word in their search warrant about Mommy Doe or little Mary Doe, who's 10 years old. 10-year-old little girl who has nothing to do with this business. And the cops strip search Mommy Doe and little Mary Doe. And the Does didn't take too kindly to being strip searched, and they complained, as was their right. Now, the majority opinion is written, my God, this is weird for me, I'm defending a decision written by Michael Chertoff. But to his credit, they came down the right way on this. They said, look, you didn't say a word about searching Mary Doe or Mommy Doe, let alone strip searching them. And we agree with the Does in this case. And the cops did not have qualified immunity to do just about any damn thing they wanted to. Sammy Alito, however, as is always the case apparently, disagreed. Sammy Alito said, what do you mean you think, this was his, what do you mean you don't think that they can strip search a little 10-year-old girl just because they didn't say they wanted to? Let it rattle around for a little bit. Let it just sort of simmer in your noggin for a few minutes. Well, Bob, that was a drug case, and them was drug dealers. Little Mary Doe was not a drug dealer. Little Mary Doe, for all intents and purposes, let's see, page four. Armed with the warrant, task force police went to the John Doe house to carry out the search. Evidently, they anticipated encountering females because they enlisted a female traffic meter patrol officer to be available if necessary to assist in the search. As the officers approached the house, they met John Doe and brought him into the house. Ooh, there's an understatement. Once inside, however, the officers found no visitors, but only John Doe's wife, Jane, and their 10-year-old daughter, Mary. Officers decided to search Jane and Mary Doe for contraband and sent for the meter patrol officer. When she arrived, the female officer removed both Jane and Mary Doe to an upstairs bathroom. They were instructed to empty their pockets and lift their shirts. The female officer patted their pockets. She then told Jane and Mary Doe to drop their pants and turn around. This was a lesbian rape! If Larry Flint published pictures of this in Hustler magazine, he would be hauled into court. If Quentin Tarantino did this on film, it would have an NC-17 rating. A 10-year-old little girl felt up by a cop. A 10-year-old little girl who had nothing to do with the case whatsoever, felt up by a cop. And Sammy Alito says, grope her again, boys! This is the filth and the scum that George Bush wants to put in judgment of us. This segment brought to you by Pepto-Bismol. Drink it by the gallon once Alito's on the court. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back thanking me for my concerns and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free, because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors. Even when the kids are out of the house or in another room, toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're going to smoke, you're going to smoke outside, because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house, and it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Of it when I was with Linda, and I wrote the other half after we broke up, so it's a little uneven, you know?
I don't mind. I'd like to hear it.
Yeah, all right.
Yay!
Okay, I just want to warn you that when I wrote this song, I was listening to The Cure a lot, so... You don't know how much I need you. While you're near me, I don't feel blue.
I know what movie that's from. 20 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock, and I was scared to death the dirty words were going to come in. But, yeah, good job there, Agnes. No dirty words. We're proud of you. Doe versus Groody. This is the entirety of Sammy Alito's legal career in a nutshell. Now, Michael Chertoff, who is bizarre and right-wing as you can get, still manages to write, "Indeed, it is difficult to conceive how the search of a 10-year-old child in these circumstances could be justified as part of a protective sweep." And he notes, "The face of the search warrant here, however, does not grant authority to search either Jane or Mary Doe." Easy! The names weren't on the list. You can't search them! Not easy for Sammy Alito, however. No, no. The fact that the names weren't on the list, or that it's difficult to conceive how the search of a 10-year-old child in these circumstances could be justified as part of a protective sweep, didn't matter to him a hill of beans. This man, for once in our existence as Democrats, can we please frame the issue ourselves and not wait to have it framed for us? They're already doing it. The Republicans are already out there saying, well, they don't like Alito because he's Italian. Bug spray! Well, they're calling him a fascist because he's Italian. Bug spray! I don't like Alito, and I'm calling him a fascist because he's a fascist. Because he believes in the overreaching, overarching authority of the state over the individual sovereignty of the several million citizens of this nation. So for God's sakes, can we please just frame this one time? Sammy Alito supports strip-searching 10-year-old little girls. 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 Got it? God, I hope so. What, honey?
I think that you need to wonder if this is being allowed. Then how far will it go?
Ain't this far enough?
Well, you know,
letting 10-year-old little girls get groped by meter maids?
I thought that's where DHHR stepped in.
DHHR should have been hauled in. These people should have been brought up on charges of child abuse.
You are supposed to have a social worker with you in the case of a minor.
Nah, no shoulda, coulda, woulda's here, honey. I'm
no,
sorry.
Shoulda. And
no, I mean,
guy's
no, never... there's not a word about whether there should have been a social worker there. They brought a freaking meter maid, okay?
I understand that completely. What I am saying is that in this case, they were wrong, and this guy upheld them. This is a 10-year-old child. What gave them probable cause to think that this child was carrying drugs?
They didn't. The 10-year-old child wasn't on the warrant.
Exactly. So it should have been moot. She should have had a case.
Well, this is about them suing, okay?
Exactly.
They turned around and sued over this. So, you know,
so this guy is basically saying it's okay to infringe on a juvenile's right, and that means not only that child, but your child, my child, everyone's child, takes the chance of being
under the way Sammy Alito thinks, if those Texas ABC agents that busted, who was it, Babs Bush for horking on all that tequila in that roadhouse in Austin, if they had wanted to, they could have strip searched her.
No, sorry, not her.
Well, no, not right, because they're better than us. But you get the idea. Sammy Alito supports strip searches for 10-year-old little girls. Now, I'm not going to say anything mean or dirty or anything. But I tell you this, because I have little girls, and I don't care what the circumstances are. Nobody is going to grope my little girl in my presence or without killing me first. Is that extreme? Am I an extremist for saying that? I guess the Bolsheviks would just bow down and say, well, yeah, if you want to send the meter maid up to grope my baby, that's a... And her mother was made to watch. Her mother was made to watch. Her mother was made to watch. Jesus. I'm Bob Kincaid.
your life.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
Love to you, I'll never say.
All right, so I took a break. I still don't feel much better about this. 28 minutes before the hour. We're halfway through tonight's Monday night Halloween edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone number is 304-658-5453. And, of course, 87, the number on that's 844-2366 if you want to get involved with the program, as we used to like to say. And we're not done with this. No, no. Email from Benedict at Large. But, Bob, don't you understand Alito's logic in allowing Jane's and Little Mary's strip search? The warrant specified a search of John Doe's property. And Mary and Little Jane are his chattel. Hence, Mary and Little Jane were automatically included within the specified limitations of the warrant. See? Yeah, I'm afraid I do see. You see, we see. Anybody with a half a brain sees. And the other side sees, too, and that's the sad thing. They feel like that.
Well, of course we can send little Mary and her mommy up to be groped by the meter maid. John Doe's a drug dealer. They ain't got no rights.
Probably got the wrong accent there since we're talking Pennsylvania.
Was he a proven drug dealer?
Well, they had enough to get a search warrant.
And this person is saying that his wife and his child were his property.
Benedict gets it.
Ah, okay. Just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. Yeah. Property. Just, hey, a stopped clock's right twice a day, huh? I mean, this really does kind of dovetail with the kind of thinking that would decide that it's okay to make a woman who has been beaten half to death and then knocked up by her abusive husband have to ask that husband permission to get an abortion. It really does all fit together, doesn't it? I despise them. I loathe them. Not the least because of my dad, who, as I said in the past, has looked at me and said, my brother died in the Second World War. My friends died in the Second World War. I fought in the Second World War to prevent this kind of crap from happening. And it's being done to us by Americans. Or people who have the unmitigated gall to call themselves Americans. The word picture. Picture it in your head. Mommy and her little 10-year-old daughter with their pants down, being felt up by a cop in the bathroom. And mommy watching it happen to her daughter, her 10-year-old prepubescent daughter. And the little girl watching it happen to mommy. And nobody, not daddy, not the law. That, the law's doing it! Not Jesus, not Almighty God can stop it. I don't know about you, but I think I've had just about damned well enough of Republican family values. I think I have had all I can stand of Republican morality. I am up to my eyeballs in Republican moral value voting. Aren't you? What kind of family values torments, twists, and terrorizes a 10-year-old girl because they think her daddy is selling crack? Tell me that. How many years of therapy has been unleashed for this 10-year-old girl? Because Judge Alito. Well, because of what the cops did. And like I said, fortunately, Michael Chertoff. I still feel like something's happening inside my brain every time I agree with this freak. Fortunately, he and the other guy got the right answer. But Chertoff isn't headed for the court. He probably, given the nature of this decision, well, that's probably why he wound up with Homeland Insecurity. He's too damned liberal. Telling cops that they can't be groping up 10-year-old girls. What have they done? What have these family values Republicans done?
Doesn't
he to this little girl's childhood? They have stolen her childhood from her and said that it is, and this Alito creep says it's okay to steal that childhood. Yes, dear.
He has a daughter.
He, Alito? Yeah, he's got a daughter. He's got a teenage daughter.
And he has a son.
Yep.
Would he approve of this for them?
Well, hell no! They're good, they're godly, they're upstanding, they're Republicans, honey! This doesn't happen to Republicans, this is a drug case!
Are you sure that it's political or is it just a personal thing? I mean, these people keep turning up with the strange, twisted values. They do appear on that side.
They're monsters!
So what do you do?
You stop this creep in his tracks. You let... Again, what I said before, if on... Just once! If we don't stop this guy and every other freak like him, advice and consent as set forth in the Constitution is dead. Now, I can't speak for what anybody else will do, and I'm not going to ask you to do it. I'm not going to tell you to do it. If you're listening to this program, it means you are progressive. It means you're liberal. It means you are fully capable of thinking for yourself without being, oh, Megadiddos from Poughkeepsie there. But no, I don't want it. I don't need it. You are capable of thinking for yourself. And as such, you are capable of picking up the phone if you choose to. What I did today, I picked up the phone and I fired off emails. In particular, I sent one to my Senator Byrd. And I said, you came out there and shook hands with John Roberts like he was your long-lost buddy. And you foisted that man on us for the next 30 years. For God's sakes, don't do it to us with this guy. This guy who supports the strip searching of 10-year-old little girls. Don't do it, Senator Byrd. Don't do it. Now, if you want to do that with your Democratic senators, please do so. If you want to write to your Republican senators, please do so. But that's going to be a little bit like spitting in the wind, isn't it? All right, to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you head on.
Hey, man.
Hey, what's up?
Employers, it said, may legally fire AIDS victims because of a fear of contagion, whether reasonable or not.
Yeah, that's Alito, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, all you have to be... I'm afraid that feller's queer and has the AIDS.
Yeah, I guess we should get him away from being the press secretary then, huh?
Yo, you don't miss it. I was gonna say, you don't miss a lick.
Not that.
Never mind the lick. You just set me up, don't you?
Ah, yes, I do. You take
great pride in doing it.
I just boom, baby. No, I'll tell you a story about going along that same vein. I took my daughter to the doctor, and this lady, older lady, who is a medical practitioner, was going to examine Carrie for her yearly exam.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I have to check down here. She said, do you want Daddy in the room or out? And my daughter was shocked, you know, by it, and she didn't know what to say. I said, well, I'll put it to you this way. I don't leave her alone with anybody. And she looked at me over her shoulder and went back to what she's doing. You just think because you're in this doctor's office and you're wearing that outfit that I'm going to leave my child with you?
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm going to take her to Neverland, let her ride on the Ferris wheel. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, have I gone completely off the reservation, Chris? What would you do? You've got a little girl just like I do.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I'd kill him.
Or they'd have to kill me.
If they wanted to strip search my girl, I'd kill them. I'd kill them all. You don't do that. You just don't do that, not to my child. They say, oh, that's not what you do. You need to let the law handle this. Well, the law is handling her.
Yeah, and the law handling her is the problem.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't think twice about it. I'd kill them. And Washington, Echelon Listening System up there in West Virginia can hear that, and everybody can hear it. You trying to mess with my daughter? I don't care what your level of security level is.
Well, but, I mean, let's not make this about Chris. For God's sakes, if this man has a shred of decency, a shred of paternal love in him, this Alito, wouldn't he do the same thing if someone was trying to harm his precious daughter?
Depends on whether there's a TV camera there or not.
Oh, you're
good. Now, I really believe that's the darkest part of the forest out there. I really did believe that. I mean, that's like the worst part of human history. You know, sir, your daughter is a witch. Well, we better burn her. Because we don't want to ruin our social standing. We don't want to ruin our position in the community. You know.
But, I mean, who are we?
The country club mentality.
But who are we kidding? I mean, this... the Alito's daughter, she's a teenager. I mean, she's probably getting ready for college, and God knows she's never going to be around any unsavory characters or walking on a sidewalk after dark on a Friday night on a after a football game in college, is she?
No, she's not going to use the Secret Service to go to a bar underage and drink. No, she wouldn't do something like that.
These people really are. Chris, these people really are, honest to Jesus, they really are trying to tear the very fabric of our republic asunder.
Well, it's like that great line from Max von Sydow from Woody Allen's movie Hannah and Her Sisters. If the real Jesus were to come back today and see what is going on in his name, he'd never stop throwing up.
Yep, and I forget where I read it today, but somebody else saying that... the fundies basically just want Jesus to come back so they can kill him all over again and make sure he's good and dead this time.
Yeah, yeah.
Ain't nobody rolling away no rocks this time through.
Yeah.
But no.
They should all have Meriwether Lewis's demise.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that to the people who know history, and we won't elaborate on it for them.
Yeah.
But, Chris, I worry because I'm afraid I've you know, just gone completely around the bend.
Well, I haven't heard you say anything wrong.
Okay, just checking. We got to hit the break, though.
I'll hit it.
Thanks, brother.
All righty.
Later. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Ever by your
Once upon a time in a small cottage lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
house, exclaimed Chuck. That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba, said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Thugs in our house, though. Thugs in our White House. Thugs in our Supreme Courthouse. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On, 10 minutes before the hour. The phone numbers, of course, 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366 and 304-658-5453. So, Sammy Alito actually filed a written dissent in this case. It wasn't enough for him to be wrong about having little 10-year-olds strip searched. He explained very patiently, in great big legal words, why he felt like little 10-year-old girls should be strip searched. Oh, let's see. At their depositions, both of the officers who signed the warrant, they did not note in the box in question that the warrant authorized a search of all occupants of the premises. They stated there simply was not room in that box, and that the incorporation of the affidavit into the warrant was meant to provide full description. Oh, well, we didn't have room. says the cops, to write down, "We want to strip search the little girls." My God. So that's all that's required in Alito's way. Just say you didn't have room to write down, we want to strip search the little girl. Now chew on that for a minute. Do you really think that if they'd written down, "Plus, we want to strip search any little 10-year-old girls we might happen to find," that the judge issuing the warrant would have let it happen? Time out. Now, are we having a problem? Are we streaming? No, not with this. Time out, please. Sorry, we're still working out bugs, so please bear with me. No, honestly, do you think a judge would have said, oh, you want to strip search the little girls? Go ahead, if they'd written it down. I believe that the majority's analysis is flawed. That says it all. The majority's analysis that says you don't strip search little 10-year-old girls without at least putting it in writing and making it abundantly clear that you want to strip search the 10-year-old little girl. Well, according to Alito, that's flawed analysis. I would hold that the warrant did, in fact, authorize a search of all persons on the premises, including Jane and Mary Doe. Do you remember back when Michael Dukakis was running for president against Poppy Bush? And who was it? Was it Bernie Shaw that said, "Governor Dukakis, you're on record as opposing the death penalty. Would you oppose the death penalty if someone raped your wife?" Remember, this was the era of Willie Horton. This was when they gave us Willie Horton. If we have a little bit of stomach and a little bit of nerve, we can make this the Willie Horton for Sammy Alito. "Sir, you say it's okay to strip search little girls as long as you write it down in the box." No, wait a minute. You don't even have to write it down in the box, according to your dissent in the Grudy case, Mr. Alito. You just think it's okay for the cops to strip search 10-year-old little girls. Judge Alito, I'd like to ask you, if it was your daughter getting strip searched by the cops in this case, would you feel the same? Oh, but Bob, that would be unfair. Oh, gosh, yes, it would. It would be unfair. So we shouldn't ask that question of Mr. Alito any more than we should have asked Alberto Torquemada, when he was being confirmed as Attorney General. We shouldn't have asked him, "Sir, if we attach electrodes to your little boy, would that still be quaint?"
If we did it until he suffered things just short of organ failure like you wrote in Justifying Torture, would that be okay with you? Oh, hell no, we can't ask that! That wouldn't be nice. That wouldn't be polite. That wouldn't live up to our democratic reputation as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir of Kumbaya singers. We had damn well best learn to ask the hard questions and ask them pretty quick, or our failure to ask the questions will wind up being our curse and damnation by the following generations that said, why did they let democracy die? I'm Bob Kincaid.
With respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
In a cocktail bar, when I met you.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right. Welcome back. I guess we've all got it now, don't we? Alito's way is not the American way. Making mommies watch while little daughters are strip searched, making little daughters watch while mommy is strip searched, is not the American way, and it's unacceptable in a nominee to the Supreme Court of the United States. Should be simple enough. So if you feel inclined to tell that to your senator, regardless of whether they sit on the Judiciary Committee or not, for God's sakes, feel free to do so. Express your displeasure liberally with this nomination. You heard the phone numbers. 877, the number 4, head on. 304-658-5453. If you want to jump in, that's fine by me. Otherwise, for the next hour, we'll hit a few of the things that might have gone by the boards. Well, we're going by the boards in light of this putrid nomination. Like this. A higher percentage of Texas households were at risk of going hungry over the past 3 years than in any other state, according to the U.S. Agriculture Department. Between 2002 and 2004, more than 16% of Texas households at some point, that's 16% of Texas, at some point had trouble providing enough food for all their family members, according to the USDA report. Nationwide, 11.4% of households were at risk of going hungry during that period. Going hungry. Just stop for a minute. My God! This is the United States, right? This isn't Bangladesh. During the same period, 11.4% of American households were at risk of going hungry. And 3.6% of U.S. households had at least one member go hungry. Tell you what, much more of that Republican compassion and, well, I reckon that number will go up, won't it? 11.4% of American households were at risk of going hungry between 2002 and 2004. Yeah, but it's Clinton's fault! Nope, sorry. Nope, Dear Leader was at the helm for that one. So, in a two-year span, 11.4% of households in America at risk of going hungry, and 3.6% of households with one member actually going hungry. Well, in light of that, let's check this one out. From Friday, on a party line vote, a Republican-run U.S. House of Representatives committee voted to cut food stamps by $844 million. About 300,000 Americans would lose benefits due to tighter eligibility rules for food stamps. My God, they're tightening the rules of eligibility for food stamps? We're paying Halliburton $29 a day per soldier to serve our fighting men and women rotten vegetables and meat, and we're tightening the eligibility for little children going hungry already. Yeah, let's lay off that God Bless America kick for a little while and work a little harder on God Forgive America. What do you say? Can we do that? Let me give up. Let's go to the phones. Wayne's with us. Hey, Wayne, you're head on.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I guess I'm okay.
Well, you know, I know, it's hard to be okay. But, well, listen, I mean, here you are back on the radio.
True.
You realize that George W. Bush has not been in his second term for a year yet.
I realize that.
We haven't reached that yet. We're getting close, but we haven't reached it. And as I said many months ago, they self-destruction. And they're still doing a very good job.
Yeah, I wish they'd pick up the pace a little bit.
I do, too. But, you know, they're doing everything they can. They're not perfect.
Yeah, and
they
can't even
ruin themselves, you know, that fast.
Yeah, and you can only work a Republican so hard.
Yes, you can. But anyway, talking, anybody that's listening, tomorrow morning at 7:30, there are some employees of a company that's working to build one of the steakhouses or whatever they're doing down there on Eisenhower.
In Beckley, yeah.
Yeah, you know, with the new, we got everything new you could think of, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, anyway, there are some workers that want to join the union that are kind of, being given a hard time.
Really?
Yes, and there's going to be a informational picket, standard picket, something are happening. So, you know, anybody that can come by and, blow your horn for support.
Yeah, what time?
Or come stand with us.
Yeah, what time?
Starting tomorrow morning, 7:30.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll be there afternoon, but, you know, we'll.
Eisenhower Drive, Beckley, that's after it splits with Bird, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Walmart's, Ryan's, Lowe's.
Well, if there was
the new Kohl's, all that.
If there was going to be a place for an informational picket about low wages, I'd say you're in the right neighborhood, Wayne.
Well, yeah. There you go. So, anyway, anybody that supports workers and workers' rights, come by and see us, stand with us.
Blow your horn.
Eat a hot dog. I mean, we'll make you a hot dog at 8:30 in the morning. We don't care.
Man, that's living.
Hey, yeah, it is. If you have a Coke or an RC, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
They still make RC? Yeah, they.
Oh, yeah, it's still out there.
Yeah. That was in a song once.
Give me an RC Cola and a Moon Pie.
There you go.
I know it well.
I know you know all those things.
It's
and
my job.
I don't know, So listen, when are you going to get done practicing? I mean,
Is there
going to be some big,
No, I don't know that it'll be big. We'll just welcome the new affiliates on board and tell them how proud we are to have them with us and. Tell your friends and neighbors, pick the show up, call your local radio station, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But it'll be happening soon.
Okay.
We've still got a couple of kinks to work out, but I'd say we're getting closer all the time.
Well, I've been listening since the beginning, and it gets smoother and smoother every day.
Yeah, can you imagine what it'll be, tomorrow?
It's almost frightening.
God, we're almost frightening.
Believe me.
Look, we're scaring.
Bob, there's a lot of people that are very frightened.
We're scaring the wing nuts to death, Wayne. We're scaring. We're scaring the wing nuts to death. I mean,
we have to listen. Here's the. I don't even know who's listening. I don't even care. Me and you, we've talked over the last few months and stuff like that, and these people are. I mean, they're self-destructive. If they look back, how can they say they protected the truth or that they did this, for the American people? They're liars.
Yes.
I mean, I tried to point out on a radio, what'd they lie about? Gauge it from here. They could not tell the truth about Pat Tillman.
Yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah, Pat Tillman. They had to lie about that.
They couldn't tell the truth. They couldn't tell the truth about Jessica Lynch.
Nope. They couldn't tell the truth about the Medicare bill.
Well, but see, that's where then people start getting confused. I mean, to me, if you cannot tell the truth about honorable soldiers, honorable men and women, Americans, that stood to protect their country. How the hell can I trust you with anything else you tell me?
Well, yeah, and in large part, if you say, what lies have they told, I prefer the shorter list. Tell me the things they've told the truth about.
That's a short list.
Yeah, mighty quiet on your end.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sitting here going, nothing?
Yeah, zip, zilch, nada, niente, nihil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's people that, I mean, I can't wait for, what's his name, Acorn or Grasshopper or Thumper.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thumper
yeah.
from the morning show. Whatever the hell that means. God.
Well, they're all out there.
Yes. But yeah. Anyway, you know, I hope everything goes all right and you can have this grand announcement. And we go forward.
I hope we'll have it licked, but you know, I hope we'll be making that announcement the next week or so. And for that matter, you know, I applaud you getting out there at 7:30 in the morning.
I ain't there yet.
yeah,
I will be though. You know that.
Yeah, I know you will. And
I mean, I made an announcement on your show one time about where was that going to be, in front of a hospital.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then, you know, and I hung up and I went, "Oh my God,
what have I done?
I do that?"
Yeah,
but I was there when I said I would be. So.
And it was a matter of doing the right thing, and you know, me and that mouse in my pocket. No, those nurses won that fight.
Yes, they did win that fight.
And I don't
we
know.
Haven't brought that up. You know?
Yeah, I mean, well, and I don't think the local newspaper brought it up either.
Oh no, they didn't. Because
if they did, some sleazy little hospital administrator might get all mad and pull his advertising.
That would be that. What's his name? Rosso or something.
Massey, isn't it? Rocky?
Yeah, Rosso Massey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. Massey.
Yeah, I mean, newspaper wouldn't want him pulling his advertising or anything. Not
but anyway.
Not worth writing a story about a bunch of nurses whipping his butt. Yeah, No.
We don't want to hear that.
Nah.
We don't want. But that's what they did.
Yeah.
That's what they
took him out to the woodshed. Is this your butt? Handed it to him. Yeah.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Yes, they did. So.
All right, man.
All right, brother.
All right. I'm not going to promise I'll be out there at 7:30.
You don't have to do that. I already did. I committed myself. You know. I just wanted to make that announcement. You don't have to be there. So, you know, anybody that wants to ride by, you can ride by. Blow the horn.
Sure.
Know? Support us.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, man. We'll see you.
Bye.
Later. Okay, and that takes us tidily into a break. So when we come back, more of the news we might have missed otherwise. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The deaths from this disease are actually declining. But we can't celebrate too soon. The reason deaths from breast cancer are declining is because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings. And it is those screenings that are detecting it earlier and earlier when it's most curable. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. If you're a woman over 40, take this opportunity to schedule your annual mammogram. If you're a woman of any age and are at high risk for developing breast cancer, talk to your doctor about how often you should receive screening mammograms. And share this with your sisters, mothers, wives, and daughters. If you need more information, it is easily available at www.radiologyinfo.org. Breast cancer deaths are on the decline. Let's keep it that way. Get the information you need about mammography screening from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
When I found out my jeans were made using child labor in sweatshops, I wrote a letter to the company saying, reconsider your labor practices. A few months later, I get a letter back saying, thanks for being a loyal customer, and they included a coupon for a 25% discount on their jeans. So I got smart, wrote letters every day to all the stores that carry the brand, asking them to stop supporting the companies who use child labor in sweatshops. And I just kept getting letters back, thanking me for my concerns, and more coupons for more discounts on more jeans. So I'm telling my friend about it, and she flips out, saying that between all the letters and coupons, some paper company cut down a small forest, driving off two indigenous tribes, hundreds of endangered animals, killing thousands of plant species, some of which may have contained vaccines for HIV, cancer, and syphilis. Meanwhile, the guys cutting down the trees are 13-year-old kids who will work night and day for months just to save up enough money to buy a pair of jeans made by child labor in sweatshops.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. Just one pint of blood can save up to three lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Want to fight childhood asthma? Then keep your home smoke-free, because secondhand smoke can trigger your child's asthma attacks. Even as little as a puff or two can trigger an attack. So make a new house rule. No smoking indoors, even when the kids are out of the house or in another room. Toss the matches, hide the ashtrays, and put your foot down. If you're going to smoke, you're going to smoke outside, because smoke can linger for longer than you think. And just a little secondhand smoke can be enough to trigger an asthma attack. The same goes for the car. A couple of puffs in a space that small is more than enough to cause trouble. So stub it out before you step in. Hey, it takes a lot of willpower to quit smoking, but it can take a lot less to quit smoking in the house, and it can make a big difference to a child with asthma. Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org, because no child should feel like a fish out of water. Brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Through Monday night, Halloween night, and I guess we got enough scary stuff to go around, and I'm not going to get to the Edgar Allan Poe. Somehow, the horrors are real enough in the world in which we live. Let's go right back to the phones. We've got a good friend on online, Brad Friedman, he of Brad Blog and Raw Radio. Hey, Brad, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
Hey, Bob. How are you, sir?
Well, I think we're getting this thing figured out.
Well, you know what? I wanted to let you know you're coming in loud and clear out here on the left coast, and I wanted to congratulate you for getting back up on the air. Good to have you back, my friend.
Well, thank you very kindly. It means a lot to know that we're crossing the continent.
You are coast to coast and around the globe, as they say. I'm sure there's folks listening all over the place, and it's we just don't have enough voices out here like yours, and so I'm glad that you're back.
Well, how's things going with Raw Radio these days?
Things are moving ahead. As you know, things are moving ahead on our end as well. We hope to have our own exciting announcement as well to come out hopefully soon. I don't want to make any promises that I can't yet keep, but things are looking good, moving ahead. The Brad Show is running on Saturdays, but we hope to have an exciting announcement about that in the future.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. You know,
I feel like Scotty McClellan. I can't discuss any ongoing investigations.
Well, but somehow or another, I get a great deal, much greater sense that there's a little bit of truth involved on your case, Brad.
Yes, well, I am telling the truth, and because I've got blog commenters at Brad Blog who will hold me to it if I don't. Unlike the the guys in the White House press room, who don't seem to give much of a damn, it seems, about that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know if you saw the press gaggle or read the press gaggle today and how many of them took the Alito bait, which is fine. Obviously, they have to cover that, but it should also be mentioned that for the first time in 130 years, a sitting member of the White House has been indicted.
Yeah, and see, I'm always afraid, Brad, that I'm getting suckered.
Yeah.
See, I started on the Alito thing today, and I was like, damn, I mean, is Scooter Libby already down the rabbit hole?
Well, I tell you, you found certainly an interesting topic and a point that needs to get out there. I mean, look, it's tough. There's so many scandals with these guys that need to be covered. I feel like the one thing that's saving them right now is the number of scandals, because you can't dig into any one of them before another one comes up, and you got to move to that. I mean, hell, any one of these. How many scandals are there with this administration? Any one of these scandals would have sunk any other administration.
Yeah, I mean,
it's incredible.
For God's sakes, we still don't have a decent answer on Jeff Gannon.
Oh, exactly. And forget about that, because we're, you know, three or four or five scandals down the road at this point. So,
Brad, I was thinking the other day. You remember early in his presidency when George Bush got on his knees and begged the forgiveness of the Chinese and said, I'll apologize, and if you don't accept my apology, I'll apologize again. God, I feel like I was 12 years old when that happened.
God, you know what? I had completely forgotten.
See?
About that. You're right. You're right. I do remember, however, when he promised to restore honesty and integrity to the White House as he was running for president back in 2000. How's that going?
Not so much. God, the day of the swearing in of his cabinet and the whole filthy cabal of them were all there in the White House, and he said, "I expect you to live up to the spirit of the law as well as the letter."
Exactly. Yeah, and I think I recall, was it the debate in 2000 or in 2004? It had to have been 2000, where he said that it's not enough to abide by the rule of law; you must also do what is right. Something along those.
Yeah, there was that too.
So
back when we were kids.
Exactly, you're right, man. It was a long time ago, but I mean, what's incredible, and I think your previous caller mentioned it, was, it seems like we were kids back when in the November 04 election, and it wasn't even a year ago.
Yeah,
that seems forever ago, and it is incredible to think that this guy still has three more years to go. I got money says he ain't gonna make it, Bob.
Boy, do I want to take that bet.
I say,
but I, you know,
gonna make it. We've got a. I've got a clock, actblog.com, where you can track how he's doing in comparison to Tricky Dick Nixon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It looks like he's got another 281 days to go before W out-tricks Tricky Dick.
Well, there's got to be a valid possibility of that happening, Brad, simply because so much of this is panning out that way. But most people, I know a lot of people were disappointed with the whole Fitzmas business that went down Friday because it was just Scooter Libby.
Right.
But
well, yeah.
It started with Agnew, with Nixon.
Well, yeah, exactly. It did. And I think that, you know, no doubt people got overexcited probably about that, with good reason. I understand that. And but now you're right. I mean, there's absolutely, presuming the media does even half of its job, which is perhaps presumptuous, It seems pretty clear that if they keep following these the smoking gun and follow this investigation to its logical conclusion, I don't know how Dick Cheney and, for that matter, George W. Bush can possibly avoid being questioned on this matter. It seems that even if you look at Fitzgerald's indictment, you know, Dick Cheney is smack dab right there in the middle of everything.
Yeah, and the thing I keep asking, Brad, and maybe I'm just framing it wrong.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's too simple or too complex. I don't know. When you read that portion of the indictment that mentions the facts coming across that didn't have any names on it, and they wrote down Joseph Wilson on the paper in Libby's own hand, there was obviously a conversation going on, or conversations had taken place in May or June of 2003 that led to that fax. I mean, this wasn't the lunch special. This from the direct quest, and why was that conversation taking place?
And furthermore, ask yourself why it was put into the indictment in the first place, If Fitzgerald is not indicting a sitting vice president for now, but he certainly put out a lot of facts that point directly to Dick Cheney. And that's why I don't know how they're going to be able to avoid questions about this. I mean, they've chosen a Supreme Court nominee that is obviously going to cause a huge brouhaha. But you're right. Have we taken the bait too much in focusing on that when, you know, the real heart of the matter, as far as I'm concerned, is this war that we may be in for God knows how long because of criminal actions, knowing lies that these guys appear to have told. It's tough to decide which one to focus on more. But I hope that the media does at least part of its job, and I know that there's going to be bloggers like myself and others, and really, we've been the ones who've been driving.
Well, yeah, Brad, this thing didn't even get legs until the blogosphere started asking the question, why did this administration deliberately out a CIA agent?
Exactly. I mean, we've been all over this thing, frankly, for 2 years now, and just 1 week ago, I believe it was, David Brooks of the New York Times on ABC News This Week said out loud that he didn't think that this was a politically important story, which just blows me away. You've got an investigation which, you know, could include indictments of all kinds of high-level senior officials, the unprecedented outing of a White House of a CIA agent by a White House, and he feels this wasn't a politically important story when we all knew we were days away from an indictment.
I was still a fill-in guy, Brad, in July of 2003. I was filling in for Dr. Bill O'Brien, great guy, and we were talking about it in his afternoon show, July of 2003, and I went over it in great detail, the federal statute that says you can't do this, you don't do this, and I said, you know, why aren't we having an investigation? And it took, what, months, a year, before something got formalized, finalized?
Yeah, I can't remember how long it took, but, you know, for those who say that there was no crime committed here, or, you know, now they're trying to use the line that, oh, there was no crime here, it was just obstruction of justice and yada, 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 I would remind them that, in fact, the entire Fitzgerald investigation got underway because of a request by the CIA to look into this matter. So why the CIA would ask for a criminal investigation for something that wasn't a crime, it just blows one's mind away to even ponder that people would use this, that these wing nuts would use that as a talking point, and yet they are. But so that investigation got underway, and then the media, for how long, you know, acted as if it was a non-story.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
What's that?
Nothing to see here. Keep
moving. Exactly.
Move along.
These aren't the droids you're looking for. I mean, would that have been the case, you know, if there was an investigation into Bill Clinton's White House?
Oh, my God.
Actually lead to the resignation of a sitting vice president? Oh, it's not, but it's not politically important, so we're not going to cover.
But there is a certain joy, Brad, in watching the worm turn, even if it turns slowly. Because what you've mentioned about Dick Cheney's fingerprints being all over this, Dick Cheney being mentioned in the indictment, Dick Cheney's going to be a witness.
You bet.
And the beauty of this is that because a gang of Republicans hated Bill Clinton so much that they were willing to overturn the settled law of 200 years of American jurisprudence and drag him in and have him deposed in the Paula Jones sex case, where before a president would have said, listen, I'm busy being president, I'll be happy to be deposed when this is all over, I'm not being president anymore, okay? And the rest of the court, yeah, sure, when you're done, you just said, no, that wasn't good enough, was it? Had to drag him in while he was in office. Guess what? Because of that precedent, Brad, because of that precedent, we're going to get to see Cheney come in under oath in the Scooter Libby case.
It's called hubris, and these guys have been storing it up for 5 years. Now, I wonder whether we will see Cheney come in, because I wonder whether this case will ever see the light of day. I think that they're going to fight it. I think they're going to do everything they can, and I think that Libby at this point is going to do everything he can he's got to try and make a deal. I mean, the idea that Cheney is going to come in and testify in a trial in open court, they are going to fight that thing with everything they've got. They're going to invoke executive privilege, I'm sure. But I think they're going to try to stop the trial from even happening one way or another, and there's several different ways that could play out and that could happen.
Think Scooter might have a heart attack?
Boy, you know what? I hate to wish that on anyone, but, boy, I wouldn't put anything past these guys.
Kill himself, shot trying to escape. They haven't decided that just yet.
Yeah, well, the squeeze is on for sure, and it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. So, you know, I would say folks who were disappointed in that Friday indictment, I don't think they should be disappointed. I don't think Fitzgerald is done, from what I can tell. I was reading through his press conference, the transcript of his press conference again this morning, because I had I turned on Rush Limbaugh, and what did he say? He said that where's that quote that I had from him?
Oh my God!
Oh yeah, I was going to blog about it. Yeah, he says that. He quoted Fitzgerald as saying in the press conference, "Despite all of our investigation, we didn't find any evidence of the outing of a covert agent." No.
Huh?
Yeah, I know. Fitzgerald said nothing of the kind, but that didn't stop Rush Limbaugh from telling all of his
head
listeners that he did.
Well, you know, when you're completely wasted on OxyContin, it does affect your hearing.
That must be what it is. He must have heard it wrong.
Yeah, right. Yeah, or they said it, they didn't say it the way he meant to hear it.
Right.
And another thing that's out there, and if you've got a minute, I just wanted to throw this out there because you reminded me of it. In the New Yorker, they've done a little outing of their own. Turns out that Scooter Libby, and this is really fun, Scooter Libby is a pornographer.
Is that right?
Yeah, you remember when Lynn Cheney wrote her lesbian porn novel Sisters?
Yes, I believe I recall that.
Well, so has Scooter, and I believe it's called The Apprentice.
Is that right?
And it's got it's this really awful semi-softcore porn novel set in medieval Japan or some such, and I mean there's every nasty thing you can imagine in a porn story it's like a wish list for Larry Flint.
Is that right? Well, now let's not put down Larry Flint.
Well, no, I understand. But
in fact, I've got an article coming out next week. And,
oh, okay. Well, I'm not putting him down by any stretch of the imagination. Well, okay, I guess kind of. But no, it's out there now. There are excerpts of this quoted by the New Yorker. I had it here in front of me. I think I made a paper airplane of it during the break. But
yeah,
you're
right here. I see it here on Amazon. The Apprentice, a novel by Lewis Libby.
And if there are any excerpts in there, Brad, it'll make you tear at your hair and run screaming into the night. It's beautiful
right stuff.
Too
steamy for radio, is it?
Yeah, kind of. There's things involving deer and bears. And people.
God. Oh, boy. So all of a sudden we discover that these guys don't practice what they preach? I'm shocked. I'm stunned.
Yeah, shocked, I tell you, to find that there's gambling going on in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Brad, so great to hear from you, man. And by the way, remind everybody, what time Saturday night?
Where are you? East Coast, right?
Yeah, East Coast.
7 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. You can get there via bradshow.com or stop by bradblog.com. I'd love you, not that you're busy enough already, but I sure love you to cover that the story of that strip search as a guest blog over at Brad Blog. I think it's a great story.
Well, I'm gonna try to do that, Brad. I don't know, maybe after this is all over, a healthy little pint of Guinness and just to loosen up the typing fingers, and we'll get going.
Attaboy.
All right.
Great to have you back, my friend.
Thanks, Brad.
We'll talk soon.
Later now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Brad Friedman of Brad Show and Brad Blog. Go by bradshow.com, bradblog.com. Lots of great information there, and Brad updates stuff with a frequency that I think is probably the envy of the blogosphere. And if you get on the email list, you'll get the updates too, and they're well worth it. He catches it when it's happening. Something, he says something, being the media because somebody has to. That's Brad. All right, a break, and we'll come back and we'll finish out the evening. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Then one day, strange folk arrived in the town. They came in camouflage, hidden behind dark glasses, but no one noticed them. They only saw shadows. You see, without the truth of the eyes, the happy folk were blind.
Falling out of aeroplanes and hiding out in holes, waiting for the sunset to come, people going home. Jump out from behind them and shoot them in the head. Now everybody dancing, the dance of the dead, the dance of the dead, the dance.
Treat me with understanding.
Treat me with respect.
Drug and alcohol addiction is an equal opportunity disease.
Treat me without judgment.
Individuals in recovery come from all walks of life and deserve to be treated with respect for winning one of the hardest battles there is.
Treat me with courtesy.
Treat me with humanity.
Alcohol and drug addiction deserves proper treatment. For drug and alcohol information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP.
There is good news in the fight against breast cancer. The number of deaths from this disease are actually declining. Declining because more and more of you are going through cancer screenings, which detect the disease at its earliest and most curable stages. October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Women over 40 need to schedule their annual mammograms now. And if you're a woman of any age and are at risk, talk to your doctor. You can find easy-to-understand information from the Radiological Society of North America at www.radiologyinfo.org.
About 17 minutes before the hour. Little blue-eyed soul. From little old blue-eyed me. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. The phone numbers, you got a little time if you want to wedge something in there. 304-658-5453. 877. The number 4, Head On. Easy? Yeah. Bob@headonradio.com. And for the growing fan base that my lovely wife is developing here. Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. I wanted to get one more thing in. Jeez, the stack's about 6 inches tall, I swear. So just to review, of American households are at risk of going hungry. And a House committee on a party line vote has voted to slash $844 million from the food stamp budget and tighten eligibility rules. Sorry, you're not hungry enough yet. Call us when the belly rumbling is a little louder, would you please? Okay, great. So we got that. And The Senate also stomped the guts out of a minimum wage hike not too long back, while their own salaries are going up. That was a long party line, too. Honest to God, I don't know how much more of this compassion we can take. I think I liked them better when they just admitted they were mean Republicans. But over the weekend, this one kind of grabbed me. From the Associated Press, Dateline Haditha, Iraq. The Marines call it a necessary evil, taking over houses and buildings for military use. For the Iraqis who become unwilling hosts, it can be anything from a mild inconvenience to a disruption that tears apart lives. In a recent offensive in Haditha, the headmaster of one school where Marines were based pressed them for a departure date so he could resume classes. At another school, Marines fortified the building with blast walls and sandbags for long-term use. A trembling woman wept when Marines tried to requisition her home to set up an observation post with a view of a nearby road where a bomb had been planted. The Marines quickly left, using her neighbor's rooftop instead. Requisitioning homes or other buildings has been widespread in Iraq for U.S. troops on missions who stay far away from bases, sometimes for several days or weeks. During major offensive, the temporary bases deep inside cities allow troops to send out more patrols and respond quickly to attacks rather than going all the way back to bases on the outskirts of town. Diya Hamid al-Karbouli, a truck driver from a village near the Syrian border, said he fled with his wife, six children, his brother, sister, and mother after U.S. troops commandeered their home last month, quote, "They broke into my house before Ramadan, and they are still there," he told the Associated Press by telephone from his brother's home in Baghdad. "We were not able to tolerate seeing them damage our house in front of our very eyes. I was afraid to ask them to leave. They were eating our food, they took all the food from the refrigerator, and used all our stored junk food, too. The major gave me $20 so we could shop for ourselves and for them. It was not enough." Sometimes the Iraqis are allowed to stay in one room in their home. Other times they have to move in with relatives or neighbors until the forces leave.
Now, Bob, talk about some of the happy things going on in Iraq. Like how sometimes they even have electricity and toilets will flush.
No, what stirred me in reading that story was a little bit of liberal, really, really liberal thinking that went down some time back. Some words to ponder on this Halloween night in light of what I just shared with you. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us standing armies without the consent of our legislature. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of armed troops among us. For protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. For depriving us, in many cases, of the benefits of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. Wow. Now, those words that I just read, if some brave Iraqi was to copy those words into Arabic and post them on light poles, power poles, kiosks, walls, doors, what do you suppose the Bush administration would say about such an Iraqi?
He's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. It's Al-Qaeda. And we gotta fight them there so we don't have to fight them here. It's a terrorist.
Pretty strong language, isn't it? For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. Gitmo? You think maybe an Iraqi might write those words about Gitmo? He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. 100,000 lives and counting, isn't it? He is affected to render the military independent of and superior to civil power. For protecting them by mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. You know what these words are, don't you? The liberals do. The progressives do. The normal, the decent people do, for we have read them and studied them for these many, many years. Those are the words of another terrorist. Those are the words of another hunted man. Those are the words of a man who would have been transported beyond the seas against his will had they been able but to catch him. Those are the words of a man who wrote them imperiling the very breath of his life. Those are the words of a man who had seen foreign troops quartered in his home. The homes of his friends, his neighbors, his countrymen. Those are the words of a man who knew what it felt like to be declared a criminal in his own country for wanting his own freedom. Those are the words of Thomas Jefferson. Those are the words of the Declaration of Independence. You tell me how they differ one iota from what's happening in Iraq. They don't. Those people yearn for freedom, and the freedom they yearn for is freedom from us. What did we find out last week from the Secret Ministry of Defense survey of Iraqis, undertaken by the Ministry of Defense of the United Kingdom? What did we learn? That up to 65% of Iraqis now believe that it is acceptable to attack and kill American forces if it just means that the Americans will get out and let them be. Just let them be. And we found out in that survey that it's not just the Sunnis, not just the Kurds, not just the Shia, it's all of them. They are all angered. They are all frustrated. They are all terrified because He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages and totally unworthy of the head of a civilized nation. Why is that good enough for us, but not good enough for Iraq? Why did we permit another member of the godless, soulless Bush clan to set themselves up as another King George? Why? My lovely wife Agnes produced the show tonight. Brian Reznor announces the program. It was engineered by Randy Kerbway. And as ever, RMR. It's all for you.